Welcome to the James River Church Podcast. You're about to hear another inspirational message from Pastor John Lindell, lead pastor at James River Church. It's our prayer that this message is an encouragement and blessing to your life.
I want to talk to you for just a few moments, and we're going to get in the altar, because I think there's something that we have to be reminded of regularly, especially when it comes to prayer. And that's that while we are waiting on the Lord to do something, He is working while we're waiting. You know, a lot of times we have the idea that if we can't see anything happening, nothing is happening, when the fact of the matter is that's not true at all. As soon as you and I call on God, He begins to work. He's a God who delights in answering prayer. And some of you have been fasting. Some of you have been praying for quite some time. We as a church have been praying for revival, but while we're praying, God is working. We've already seen some of it. I mean, the drop in crime and the drop in poverty have been astounding. In the Springfield area, the mayor's report, I was like, wow, go God. It's so awesome, because it had just been going up and up and up. And then we began to pray and we began to bind the powers of darkness. And certain people said, I don't believe in that. I said, well, I do. And I believe we're going to see things happen. And we are. And He's going to answer the other things we're praying for relative to the area. God is at work. And you can know this, He's at work in you. I think even relative to healing. So some of you prayed, and I think the worst thing in the world a person could do is say, well, I wasn't healed, and be discouraged, but rather say, I believe God's answering that prayer. And you might have the torn rotator cuff, and you might wake up in the morning and you're able to move your arm. You might be in Sunday morning service, and during the worship, you just feel like lifting your hands, and all of a sudden you find you're lifting the arm that has the torn rotator cuff. That's what happened to my mother-in-law, to Bonnie. So she had one of my grandkids ran up to hug her and knocked her over when we were remodeling the hallway, doing the carpet. She fell on concrete, and she went to the doctor, and the doctor said, there's nothing to attach anything to. There's nothing we can do for you. You're not ever going to have motion in your arm. You're only going to be able to do like this. You're never going to be able to lift your arm up. And so she was praying for healing, was prayed for multiple times when we'd have words for rotator cuffs, other people be healed. And she was just saying, you know what? I know God's at work. And one morning, on a Sunday morning at James River, she just felt like praising the Lord. And she looked and saw her hand in the air and was shocked, and has been healed ever since. I'm just saying, God is working. He is working while we're waiting. I want to encourage you, no matter how long you prayed, no matter what you're waiting on God to do, He has got this. He's working in your situation. He's working in your family's life. He's working at work. He's working in your finances. He's working in you physically. There's no area where we could be waiting on God that God would not be working. So let me just give you three quick things on what God is doing while we are waiting. First of all, while we are waiting, God is delivering us. He's in the process of bringing the answer even while we're praying. The proverb says this, it says, wait for the Lord and He will deliver you. While you're waiting, He's delivering. While you're waiting, He is working. The psalmist says this in Psalm 40, I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me, heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit. If He's waiting patiently, He's waiting a while. What's happening? We don't know. But God is setting the table. He's getting the rock ready for that person to stand on. He's getting the song ready. He's going to put in their heart. He's writing the song they'll sing from their heart. God is at work. He's working in them. I love what Psalm 37 says in Psalm 37, verse 7. Be still before the Lord. Wait patiently for Him to act. Don't worry about evil people who prosper or fret about their wicked schemes. Listen, evil people are not your concern. You pray for them. You bless people. We're people who do not curse. We're people who bless. And then we leave it to God, right? Don't get frustrated. Listen, whatever they're doing is between them and God. It doesn't involve us. So rather than look at people who seem to be getting ahead while you're falling behind and they're not serving the Lord, when you start to think about that, what will happen is it will frustrate you. Better to say this, I'm just going to be still before the Lord. You know, if you come before the Lord and all you're doing is complaining about the fact he hasn't answered you, then your prayer time was simply a complaining session, and you will not leave having had God help you. Wait on him patiently. Be still. For some, it might be better if you can't stop talking about it to God in terms of a complaint. Maybe it'd be better not to talk at all and just be still in his presence. Stop being angry. Turn from your rage. Do not lose your temper. It only leads to harm, for the wicked will be destroyed, but those who trust in the Lord will possess the land. While you're waiting, he is working. He's getting the land ready for you to possess. Isn't that good? I love that. While I'm waiting, God is working. While we're waiting, God is teaching us. Is it okay if the Lord teaches you? Anybody else here agree that there's a lot of things I need to know from the Lord? That's true of every single one of us, right? There's just things we need God to make real to us. And you know, here's the thing. We can know things in our head, but until they become real in our heart, they many times aren't lived out in our life. And God wants us to literally live the word of God, not out of our head, but out of our heart. And it involves our head, but when it becomes a part of us, when it's real to us, when we've learned it through the presence of the Lord and his guidance through life's experience, there's something very powerful about that. Because then you're not teaching just principles, and principles are great to teach, but how much better when you can teach it out of the experience of a life lesson because God has taught you. I love this. Lead me in your truth and teach me. For you are the God of my salvation. For you I wait all the day long. Does the psalmist have things he needs from God? Absolutely. But he recognizes that while he's waiting, God is working, and a part of that work is a work in him. And all of us need that. We need to learn who he is, that he's faithful, that you can trust him, that he's powerful, that he's got things under control. We need to learn he's sovereign, that he's in charge. We're not in charge. We need to learn that he wants us in the midst of our own problem, not to think exclusively of our problem, but to think of others' problems and to pray for others and to care for others and to look beyond our own needs to the needs of others. And often when we do that, it's when we receive from him ourselves. God wants to teach us that all his ways are good. That doesn't mean every way is easy, but in the end, it is good. And sometimes the only way God can teach us his goodness is to take us through a difficult time in our life. And as we're waiting, he's doing good things. He's the God who takes all things and works them together for the good for those who are called in Christ Jesus, all who are his followers in Christ Jesus. Well, number three, while we're waiting, he is strengthening us. And I love this. He's working, he's teaching us. He's working, preparing the ground or the place to deliver us, but he is also strengthening us. Look at it in verse 27. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Do you realize that as you and I are praying and we're seeking God, there's a work of God that just brings strength to us spiritually? And I would suggest to you that when we're strong spiritually, it strengthens us many times physically. When we learn to delight ourselves in the Lord, especially in the midst of the problem, the joy of the Lord becomes our strength. And that strength is not only spiritual, that strength, I believe, is physical. In fact, in Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, but they who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. Are you weak tonight? Sometimes problems wear us down, and it's because we've forgotten that waiting on the Lord isn't just sitting back and hoping He'll come through, but waiting on the Lord is different than that. And when we learn to wait on the Lord in a biblical way, which we're going to look at in a moment, then what happens is our strength is renewed. And watch this, they shall mount up with wings like eagles, they shall run and not be weary, they shall walk and not faint. And prior to this, it talks about even youths grow tired and weary. So it's saying, hey, you can have young people who get tired, but when you wait on the Lord, you have a supernatural strength to do what God has called you to do. You have a supernatural strength to endure whatever it is that God is taking you through, because He's taking you through it for a purpose. Wait on the Lord. So while we're waiting on God, He's delivering us. He's working in us. The Hebrew word for wait is the word kava, and it can be used a couple of ways. It has the idea to tarry or wait means to just to tarry, to just in His presence, spend time in His presence. I hope that you'll do that. I mean, you're here and we're here to be in the presence of the Lord. You made the right choice coming to the prayer meeting. You're waiting in the presence of the Lord. We're worshiping the Lord as we're singing. That's worship to Him. It's also waiting on Him. It's tarrying. It's letting God move in a place. And as we sense Him moving, then that in many respects determines how we respond to His presence. But it also has the idea to bind together, a twisting together. The idea is pull yourself together while you're waiting. Rather than getting frustrated that God isn't doing anything, the idea is you get a hold of yourself and you realize, you know what, while I'm waiting, He's working. And this is the key to scripturally waiting on the Lord. It's waiting with an anticipation that says, I can't wait to see what God's going to do. I'm excited about what He's going to do. I don't know what He's going to do, but He's God, and if He's God, it's going to be good. He's God, and if I'm waiting on Him, and I've prayed about it, now all I have to do is watch the way God's going to work. Waiting isn't saying, come on, God, when are You going to show up? No, waiting is saying, God, I know You're getting ready to do something amazing, and I can't wait to watch what You're going to do. Wrapped up in this, waiting on God is certainly the idea that we are spending time with Him, that we are in His presence and delighting in Him, recognizing that who He is and His presence is the most wonderful thing we can experience in this life. A lot of times we think the answer to our prayer is the most wonderful thing. I'm just telling you, answers come and answers go, and you get an answer, and it seems like the biggest thing in the world. And then after it's over, human beings being what we are, at times we can move on too quick. We can say, oh yeah, I remember He did that, but it's not as big to us. But I'm going to tell you what, when you spend time in His presence, it's always big. His presence is always wonderful. His presence is always powerful. His presence, when you're in His presence, it will always change you. So wait on the Lord. And here's the promise. And this promise appears several times in the Bible. In Isaiah 49, verse 23, then you will know that I'm the Lord, and those who wait on Me shall not be put to shame. Because invariably people think, well, you know, if I wait on God, what if God doesn't come through? And the Bible answers that by saying those who wait on Him will not be put to shame. They'll not be disappointed. Paul quotes that in Romans. The psalmist says it in Psalm 25 and verse 3, indeed, none who wait for You shall be put to shame. None who wait for You will be disappointed, another translation says. In Psalm 38 and verse 15, I'll wrap it up with this, but for You, O Lord, do I wait? It is You. In other words, what we're really waiting for is not the answer as much as it is the God who answers. God, I want You. I want You to do a work in my life. I mean, honestly, as important as some of the things we need from the Lord are, what good is it ultimately, eternally, if God answers that request, but it doesn't change our life that we might know him more? And God wants us to know him more than ever. But for you, O Lord, do I wait at you. O Lord, my God, who will answer? God is faithful. God will answer. And even tonight, coming in, I just believe in the power of putting the Lord first. Seek first the kingdom of God, his righteousness. All these other things will be added unto you. God says, I make a deal with you. You take care of the things I care about. I'll take care of the things you care about. And he can do a better job of taking care of the things you and I care about than we can do, right? And he promises to do that.